So good. So good to be here. Thank you so much for receiving us so well. It's, yeah, as Wes just said, it's an honor to be here with Wes and Janet and the family. Good to be with the family. So greetings from over the ditch. I've never used that before, but I've heard it a couple of times here, and I'm presuming it's positive. So greetings from over the ditch. From my wife, my family, from the Weatherly family, and from the Field of Dreams family in Adelaide. So good. What a wonderful season we are in. Aren't we in an amazing season? And I'm going to, this is really funny, this message is relatively profound today. How many of you have been enjoying what you've been hearing over the last three sessions? Hasn't it been outstanding? It really has. And we looked at times and seasons. We looked at transition in times and seasons. And then really, Todd took us into that beautiful place with regards to the priesthood, what it is to minister unto the Lord, and primarily what it looks like to lean into a life of consistent praise and worship, and then ascension through that place. How many people found that really, really empowering today? Because what Todd brought wasn't just a good word. It's nice to hear a good word, but really what we need to be in this season is we need to be empowered to do life appropriately according to the season and time under heaven. And that's what we hope that we've been able to do a little bit for you guys as we've been here. So thank you again for receiving us so well. So as Todd said at the beginning of the, or I said and we said when we arrived, that this whole time, the times and seasons gathering, family gathering, call it that, was really a four-part message, but it was one message with four parts. And so I am delighted to be able to conclude that tonight, and hopefully you guys are going to really enjoy what I talk to you about. Now, a couple of things. First of all, actually, my wife, Belinda, had been moving into things politically, and she actually got voted in today to be president of our whole electorate and a statewide thing as well. And so she's got federal. I should know. Todd knows more than I do. But she got elected 9-8 today. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? So praise God for that. Now, come on. How many of you know we're called to change the world? But we've got to do it according to the grace on our lives too. Okay, cool. Now, I really believe that we are being called in this season to raise a standard according to the season that we're in. Everyone say, raise a standard. Now, sometimes you go, well, what does raise a standard mean? Does that mean I have to appropriate some particular behavior? A little bit. But I really believe that we are actually being called to be the standard that is being raised in this season. So I believe that God is raising a standard in this season, but we are that standard. How many people understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to break down a few scriptures. We're going to go into some really cool stuff today. But the reason I'm saying that specifically is because of something that the Lord spoke to me on May the 1st this year. And I'm going to share with you a little story. I like sharing stories, and I know you love listening to me. So the story is this. Now, we had a church family gathering, and what we do is they get together and we do social events as a church, and we go down and we do what we've got to do. And it was on a Saturday morning, and we were all excited. It was down at one of the local botanical gardens, one of the local parks, and I was really excited about going. And I thought, okay, we're going to go hang out, drink lots of coffee, drink a lot of coffee, and then talk really fast to loads of people. So that's the goal. But anyway, so we drove up to the Botanical Gardens garden where the family gathering was happening. This is a prophetic word, by the way. And as we pulled up there, my son got really excited. He said, okay, Dad, let's go for it. Let's go, 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 you know. And I don't know if anyone has ever had a five-year-old going on 6, going on 26, but he's pretty fast. Now, he got ready, he came out the car, and he said, let's go for it, and we ran down to the park. Now, as we were running down to the park together, I started to feel it was a little bit soft beneath my feet. Now, I'm on the grass now, and I'm thinking to myself, what on earth is happening? There's something going on, and what I'm standing on is wet. It's on May the 1st, and I'm going, oh my goodness, my feet are now saturated. And what had happened was I'd worn normal shoes, as you do, Any normal person wears shoes and not flip-flops or thongs. But being British, that is. And I said before, I don't even think British people can buy. You can't even buy flip-flops or thongs in the UK. I don't even. Jangles. In sorry. Okay. All right. Flip-flops, thongs, and jangles. Okay. Awesome. So, I didn't have my jangles because I don't believe in them. So what I had was a really nice pair of running shoes that I was doing some sport in at the time. Not at that time, but in general. And I ended up being sunk in a park. I was sunk. And my son didn't even notice, but I was like, Asha, we're sinking. And what happened was that the flow of the brook had overflowed and had flooded the plains on May the 1st of where our family gathering was supposed to be. So can we put the picture up, please? So I had to go back into my car. And when I went back into my car, I had to take my shoes and socks off. And there are my beautiful shoes that were just on the bonnet of the car. Now, why are they on the bonnet of the car? Because they're saturated. And I'm like, I'm not getting out and standing in that water again. Now, you can take that off now. Now, what's really interesting is the Lord started to speak to me and he took me into a vision and he said, do you know, now first of all, you can put the lights back on if you want. Do you guys know that prophets' lives are parabolic? What does that mean? A lot of the time, or most of the time, it means that you end up doing things and they're actually a prophetic sign for the body of Christ. And so what happened was I was back in my car and I'd already spoken to Todd about this. And the Lord said, I'm actually creating a sign for the word that you're going to release. And I'm like, but this is, I'm not a barefoot on grass kind of guy. And I know you guys are like, whatever, but I'm just not there. And it was uncomfortable and I was wet. And I thought, I don't like this. And I said, why? What is this? And he said, the word that you're releasing in this season, and this is specifically for New Zealand, the word that you are releasing in this season, but the word that you're releasing in Christchurch is that it's time to cross the Jordan during the flood. It's time to cross the Jordan during the flood. Now, I processed this with my team. I processed it with Todd. And I had been in a vision, because I like to pray. And in a vision, I had found myself in a pair of Nike Air Jordans or Nike Air Jordans. And I was standing at the bottom of a riverbank. So I thought to myself, I need to buy a pair of Jordans. And that's why I'm wearing them out. But what happened, I know. So what happened was, I was in a vision and I was standing and I watched in this vision as I stood at the bottom of a riverbank, and I knew I was at the bottom of a riverbank, and I watched waters part this way and that way, but there was a level of saturation on my feet, the same as with my feet in the park, where my feet got saturated. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Daryl, I want you to look at the book of Joshua, chapter 3 and chapter 4, and I want you to release the word, my word, that the priests are going to cross over the Jordan first in order that others may occupy their inheritance. And I said, praise the Lord. Awesome. So can we put up, first of all, let's go to Joshua. I'm going to read some scripture today. Are you guys all right with that? There's a fair bit. Thank you so much, Wes. And if you haven't done your daily reading, this is going to kind of, this will magnify. Now, I don't want to drink too much water just in case I need to not go to the toilet. Okay, now, because it could be a real flooding. Now, okay, it could be a real flooding. We could flood everywhere. Okay, now, all right. And Can I tell you a really funny story? And I just got it just because it's there quickly. I had an experience where I was running a healing rooms meeting. About 40 people had come for healing. And I was in a place and I was getting loads of words of knowledge. And I was in an auditorium very similar to this. And I started to give all these words of knowledge. You know, someone's got a bad back. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Someone's got this. Someone's got that. And I got to this. I was doing all these words of knowledge. And I said, and somebody's been really struggling to go to the toilet. You've been constipated for 3 days. In the name of Jesus, release. True story. And I stood there and I went, release. And I went, oh. And then I remembered I hadn't gone to the toilet for about 2 or 3 days. Well, I had a 2IC there who was actually Jackie Ford. You know who Jackie is. And I said to Jackie, take over the meeting. And I was healed of the constipation that moment. And so, true story. So, please don't. When you get word of knowledge, ask who it's for. At least the prayer worked. Okay, cool. All right. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Now we're going to read down, just make notes, and you can soak it into. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Oh, let's just read it together, this part. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Okay, now I'll just read the rest just for time's sake. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the ark. What does the ark represent? The presence. Who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Stand in the Jordan. Remember, my vision is I'm standing in the Jordan, the waters part, and people are able to cross over through the Jordan because the waters have been, we'll read that now, have been repelled or, here we go. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites. It's okay. And the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing before you into the Jordan. What's going before them? The Ark of the Lord. Keep going. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. Keep going. And it shall come to pass. Everyone say it shall come to pass. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand in a heap. Keep going. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Now catch this, verse 15. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. It was flood time. Then the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Araba, please correct me, is fine. The sea salt failed and were cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant, of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel, everyone say all Israel, crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. We'll just leave it there for now, for that. Now, it's really interesting. We are in a season, and we have been in a season of increased darkness. We've been talking about that. We don't need to keep on going on about that, but we know that. And we know that the darkness has come quite rapidly. And some of you might consider that the darkness has come on the earth like a flood. You could say, wow, the earth has been flooded with darkness, but the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Now, if you could put up Isaiah 59, verse 19, and I want to show you something really interesting. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. This is really interesting. This is really, really interesting. Now, we understand then that the people of God crossed the Jordan. Moses leads them so well. And then, so that was verse chapter 3, and then we jump over to chapter 4. Is everyone okay if we read some of chapter 4 too? So Joshua chapter 4, okay. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, or every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones. Everyone say 12 stones. From here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. It's really interesting. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you that when the children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Lord of the covenant of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial for the children of Israel forever. Now, I'm just gonna leave it there, because otherwise we'll just leave it there for a second. Now, was this really interesting? So what happens? Joshua is commanded, we all know Joshua chapter 1, we quote it, we've got it probably tattooed, and we've probably got a key ring that says, when Joshua had to take over Moses' job, or the job of Moses, what did he say? He says, be strong and very courageous. And so what's interesting is we go, well, why did he have to be strong and very courageous? Well, God just spoke to him now, and he said, okay, you are going to cross over into this land that I promised your forefathers that my people would occupy, that my people would inherit. But you are going to cross over, and you're going to cross over now. Now, this is really interesting. So Joshua had to be bold and very courageous. And then we just read in chapter 3, verse 5, or first 5 or 6, I think it was, verse 7, he said of Joshua, he said, I'm going to sanctify yourselves in 3, 5. But then he says of Joshua, he said, I'm going to exalt you in front of all the people, that they would know that as I was with Moses, I'm with you. Yeah. Now, this is really interesting. In order for God to exalt Joshua in that place, he had to step out. And he had to give the command to cross the Jordan. He had to step out in a place of faith to cross the Jordan during this flood time. This is really interesting. Now, we understand that in the passage of Scripture, then Joshua gets the people to get 12 stones, memorial stones. And the reason, what does it say is the reason that Joshua was to command the 12 people from the 12 tribes to collect the 12 stones? What was the reason? Does anyone remember? So why? Memorial. Exactly. So that, in verse 6, exactly, so that, chapter 4, verse 6, so that when your children ask, what do these stones represent? Or what do these stones mean to you? You are basically, they are able, then you shall answer that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Lord. That was the beginning of them occupying inheritance. Now, we are in a very interesting season on earth. And the church is being called, you can take that off. The church is being called, thank you. The church is being called to occupy territory right now and cross over into a place of occupation of territory even during flood time. You see, the enemy comes in like a flood, and I'm not talking about that this flooding is the enemy. I want to share with you, we've got dual flooding going on. But what I want to say is this, that the enemy comes in like a flood. And the Lord raises up a standard before the enemy comes in like a flood? No. The enemy comes in like a flood. And then the Lord lifts up a standard against him. The word standard, we just read it in Isaiah chapter 59. The word standard in the original Hebrew is the word news. Everyone say news. Come on, you're never going to forget that. And it means put to flight. The word standard means put to flight. So the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Lord lifts up a news against him, something that will put his efforts, his agenda, his advancement to flight. Something that will bring a significant pushback, not half a pushback, not a minuscule piece of pushback, not like, oh, we kind of got a little bit of it, but we didn't really know. When the Lord answers the enemy coming in like a flood, he raises up a standard through us, his people, and that standard puts the enemy to flight. That enemy brings a level of pushback to the flooding of darkness that silences it, puts a line in the sand and says no further. Now, what's the challenge? The challenge is this. If we choose not to step out into the Jordan as priests, carrying his presence, occupying the gates that he's calling us to occupy, manifesting who we are as sons of God on the earth, if we choose not to do that now, the generations that come up after us will have nothing to base confidence in, that the when the enemy comes in like a flood again, that they can do anything about it. You see, if we don't raise the standard and leave the memorial stones, which were 12, through the governing of heaven, through the priesthood of all believers, if we don't operate in the government of heaven and set those memorial stones in a time of darkness and flooding, what do they have to reference that God will do the same for them? You see, this is much bigger than just us feeling good. And I'm not saying anyone's there. This is much bigger than just us having a little bit of understanding of who we are as believers. This right now is, we keep quoting this scripture, born for such a time as this. You're born for such a time as this. Born for such a time as this. And you love the scripture, don't you? We're born for such. But we're in wartime. We're in flood time. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, go to New Zealand, and Todd will testify, and tell them that it's time to cross the Jordan. Go to Christchurch and say it. You're going to cross the Jordan, but it's going to be during flood time. May the 1st. It's a prophetic sign and wonder in Christchurch as the word of the Lord saying that there may be flooding, but the Lord is going to do wonders among you. That the Lord is going to empower his people, and he's going to empower his people to set up a standard against the advancement of the enemy. What does it look like? A discernment of the seasons and times, an understanding of the seasons and times, the appropriation of what it is to be in the order of Melchizedek as a priest, to literally be one of, I mean, Todd talked about it so fantastically, to move in a place of significant worship and ministry before the Lord in order that he can open up what needs to be opened up during a time of intense darkness sometimes, in order that he can show himself strong through our lives, and then people can say, wow, what on earth? When did that happen? During flood time. When did that happen? During COVID. When did that happen? During the darkest time, or one of the darkest times we've ever seen, that's when that happened. I do more work with businesses. And what's really interesting is I spoke to a lot of business people. I said, how's your business going? And then we'd be doing some sessions with them. And then I say, what's God saying to you? And they would say, everything had shut down. And they go, God's telling me to advance. God's telling me to expand. But I don't know how am I going to advance and expand? And let me tell you this, for each and every business that chose to align themselves with the word of the Lord to advance in a time where everyone else was retreating, their businesses exploded. Come on. You see, the reality is that it might look like it's not a good weather to be out in. But how many of you know that we're not under the weather? How many of you know that we're actually up and over the elements of this world, and we are called to be able to administrate from a place of government onto the earth to actually bring shift and transitional change onto the earth as priests and kings? You see, the thing is this, that the flooding happens and people get freaked out, and, you know, I'm not talking about flooding naturally. I'm talking about stuff happens and people freak out. And God's looking, he's going, why are you freaking out? Didn't, when Jesus was in the midst of the storm, he was asleep. Well, we know that. He's probably a bit tired. But what did he say? He gets up. He calms the storm. And they say this, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, what manner of man? The original Greek is the word kind. What kind of man? Where is this? What kind of cloth is this person cut from? What ilk is this? Who is this? And that's who we are. You see, as people of God, the world has to look at us and go, who are these people that see prospering in a time when everything else is going wrong? Who are these people that take a stand when everything is saying, this is the way it should be, but these people are standing out in the middle of the danger, the flood water, but it seems like nothing is able to touch them or harm them. Who are these people? And let me tell you this right now. We are the people of God. And what we do while we're here is the thing that marks us. And I got very emotional thinking about this message. So I was thinking about my children. And I felt the Lord speak to me. And you know, when the Lord speaks to you and it's like really, you know, quite personal. And you're like, oh my goodness. And I felt him, wow, it really was emotional. And my wife started to go into the things of the political sphere. And I just knew so much that it was the right thing. And I felt the Lord say, empower her in all she wants to do. And I would always do that anyway, most of the time. You can laugh, it's fine. But what happened was I kept on seeing her pushing forward into the things of the political and of us as a church and others as well. But I started to see that this was the only way that we can make a mark. The only way that we can make a mark is by taking a stand and raising a standard. If we choose to not make a stand and choose not to raise a standard, our whole life really matters for naught. Now, I'm not being rude. I'm not saying, look, you don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you're worthless, go home. I'm saying that if we can't build legacy for the next generation, if we can't build for people coming up behind us on the truths of the gospel, on the core values of a biblical standard for what it is to be a believer, if we can't do that, it will get washed away permanently. And yes, it will be rebuilt at some point, but I'm saying, do you want New Zealand, and this is for Australia too, do we want these islands to be saturated with darkness where everyone becomes lemmings? Or do we want it to be saturated with light in order that people who come up after us say, no, 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 in that season, this was the stake, this was the marker that was put into the ground by my dad, by my mum, by my uncle, by my grandfather. They put it in, and if they did it, we can do it too. You see, deep darkness is not suddenly going to go away. This is a new normal on the earth. There'll be darkness pushed. Light will then manifest as a standard and bring significant pushback. Darkness will come through. Light will then come and bring significant pushback. This is the way it looks. It is going to be a take the window season. Are you saying there'll be more darkness? Uh-huh. You can't say that. I just did. There will be. And it's the way it is. There was a number of prophetic words that were released during COVID. COVID's about to end. I was like, wow, that's a big deal. And that's the date. Did it come to pass? No, it didn't. What am I doing? I'm telling you that the reality is that the season, the dispensation of time changed. And things look different now. There's an acceleration of darkness and an acceleration of light. And God is saying, be counted in the number to bring the light of the kingdom to flood the earth with light in this time. And I believe that one of the things he's talking about, to New Zealand and to Christchurch and also to where we are, sister cities, is this whole concept of what it is to lay down laying down a foundation and laying that foundation down until all have the ability to start to possess the land that God has predestined for them to occupy. You see, that sounds a bit like, what does that mean? How does that work? You see, the thing is this, that if we can understand that we have to stand that others may occupy, It stops being about how do I feel, what have I got to do, how can I help, like what could, you know, it takes the limitations off me and puts me in a position. Todd's been talking about us being a bridging generation, puts us in a position understanding that we actually just need to, in a place of boldness, take a stand and step out in a season. And it says there, the priest stood firm and stand firm until all others, and I mean all others, you know what I'm saying, but within the right context so people can actually cross over and occupy the things that they need to occupy. You see, not everybody is going to be able to stand the way that some people are going to stand. But that's not what this is about. We will stand strong when others are weak and allow them to come through. And so for those of us, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. You feel like, we feel like we're born for such a time as this. We feel like we're born to be people of power and authority. And we are. But the thing is this, that if we, just like the book of Esther, if we don't do it, God, I believe, will raise others up to do it. Because he will have his way. He will have people cross over. And he will have a season and time of occupation of the land of promise that he's spoken to his people. And this is really, really important. Now, I know that, is everyone okay? I'm not gonna go heaps long, but I just wanna kind of land a proper fullness of the word of the Lord. You see, we have to, in a new era, set a new standard, which can look like a new precedent in a new era. When everything changes, the old order of things stop working. They stop working. How many of you? Yeah, so you can't function in the way that you did function previously in a new dispensation of time. So therefore, we set something called a new standard or a new precedent. Now, a precedent, I'll give you a definition just very briefly. A precedent is an earlier event or an event or action that is regarded as an example or guide to be considered in similar circumstances. That's what a precedent is. Do you want me to say that again? A precedent is an example or guide that is considered in similar circumstances. So the world right now has been flooded because of different things that have happened, and there have been precedents set up to guide for other similar circumstances. Now, the church, that's what a precedent is. Now, the church has been given an example to set a governmental precedent in a time of flooding that can be used as an example for others in times of similar circumstance. This is our calling. As a bridging generation, we are setting a standard and setting a precedent that can be used for generations to come in similar seasons and similar circumstances as the one we're in right now. This is very, very important that we catch it. And you go, well, what do I do? Well, Todd's already been talking about some stuff, and we don't have all the answers. Like, we don't have all the answers. We're just coming with what the Lord spoke specifically to us. And the Lord told me to come and told us to come. And he said this, tell them they're crossing the Jordan in flood time. Now, I don't have every detail about what that looks like for your life. Todd's given some great language and some great practical stuff with regards to being a priesthood and ministering unto the Lord. But what does it look like for you to set a standard in your world where God has called you specifically? And what does it look like for you to stand firm on who you have been called to be in order to be able to set that standard and set that precedent up for people that are watching you? This is really, really important. When COVID first started, I don't like germs very much. I've got a germ issue. I'm a germy. Now you might go, well, you're weak. It is what it is. I just don't like germs. And oh no, now I'm like, that was perfect timing. And so I don't like germs. I'll be honest. I did stock up on a lot of hand sanitizer when things. And you're like, oh, you didn't set a good standard, whatever. My kids are like, you don't need that, so it's fine. My wife has set up the right standard for them. And so, but the thing is this, but, I'm being silly, but yeah, I know, this is what I'm going to say. And then one day I dropped it, and I think I was either preaching or I was in the staff room. I was in a restaurant. Okay, Todd knows more. We're in a restaurant, and then Todd said, I dropped it. And then Todd said, oh, you dropped your rabbit's foot. Now, does anyone know what? I know, yeah, I know. He's better than I am, I know. But this is really funny. So he said, who knows what a rabbit's foot is? You rub it when you need good luck, right? Meaning that all my sanitizing probably wasn't doing anything anyway. Does that make sense? With an emphasis on probably, definitely. Now, the thing is, whether I have 25 sanitizers under my house or not doesn't make any difference. It's funny because it's true. And whether I have 290 toilet papers under my house or not makes no difference. Oh, yeah, it was me. It was me. No, I'm just joking. But look, I'm just being real. Are we real people? Good, all right. So I completely lost my train of thought because you were talking about because I started thinking about toilet paper now. But using these sanitizers and using these things was setting up this particular, what was I talking about? I've completely forgotten. Setting up a standard. And so the thing was this, that I had not bought hand sanitizer before 2020, only when I'd been flying overseas. I'm not even joking. I had never even gone in and bought a hand sanitizer. Now, this is the thing. So what happened in 2020 is a new standard or a new precedent of operation was set up. How many of you know that's true? How many of you know that the standard and precedent of operation that was set up when things shifted wasn't necessarily exactly in line with truth? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like when you're queuing for a plane. I'm sorry, it is what it is. You're queuing for a plane and you do the distancing. Then you get on the plane and you are next to everyone like this. Does that make any sense? Or when particular politicians say everyone has to social distance and can't hug anyone, and then each time they meet someone, they hug them deeply, and I've got all the photographic evidence on my phone. What does that mean? It's a double standard. You see, we moved into a season where the precedent wasn't, the new standard was a double standard and wasn't based in truth. But as believers, we are designed to set up a standard of truth. Now, what's really interesting is I believe that one of the ways we do that is that we make a stand in our time. And I'm not saying I'm not using hands. Do what you got to do. Don't shake my hand, though. But all I'm saying is this. I don't know where. I like clean hands. It's what it is. I'm prophetic. It is what it is. Clean hands and a pure. I don't care. It is what it is. You made me laugh. Clean hands and a pure heart. Who can ascend the hell? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have sanitizer. Okay, now, all right, now. Okay, that's not true. Okay. So this is really interesting. So what starts to happen is God starts to speak to us about kind of ridiculous things in ridiculous times. For example, starting to speak to us about, hey, I'm going to give you the government mountain. And no, this is really funny. Now, my wife, I'm going to have to say this because this is what it is to set up a standard in this time. Now, my wife, 10 weeks ago, was it 10 weeks ago? Is that about right? I just want to get the time frame. Maybe 12? Yeah, about 3 months ago. About 3 months ago, my wife got a little bit irritated. And I, don't look at me. She wasn't irritated about me. She was irritated about something else, I'm sure. But anyway, she got irritated because something had happened and there was a bill passed. And she was just like, I can't believe that this has happened again on our watch. Now, we all know, Todd's talking about this, but we all know that protesting really works really well. I'm joking. But so what happened was my wife sent an email to her senator. And within an hour, the senator messaged her back and said, I have a plan and I can process with you what we can do to start to fix things. Then suddenly, so this is 12 weeks. Now, my wife has not talked about anything political. Yeah, we talk about policies that go through and you know how you do. But she has spoken about nothing political. Suddenly, there's an empowering mantle that comes over her. I'm telling you right now. Crazy. Where my house became like an episode of The West Wing. Over and over and over. So I'm like, got to go through a secretary to talk to her now. But on the South Wing, exactly. But what happened was that she didn't just get excited. She got supernaturally empowered. And the favor of God that came on her, so much so that we would just sit down and she'd go, oh, the senator's coming over. We'd have senators over for dinner. We'd be connecting in with these people. Chiefs of staff would be calling her saying, oh, this is what we're going to do. And literally it got so extreme that the Prime Minister of Australia said, whatever's going on in South Australia, there is something happening and I know about it. That was us. That was her. Wow. One email. Because she took a stand. Because she said, I will be, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and credit to Todd and every, all the, it's not just one person, it's a team. Don't think what I'm not saying, but I'm just giving you an example. So she knew that we were in a time of flooding and not an easy time. We're busy people. We are busy people. You go, don't prophesy that. It's true. Couldn't be any busier. And during a time where we are busy and a time where everything is going crazy, Belinda still decides to make a decision. She goes, nah, not on my watch. Not on my watch. And the favor of God that came over that woman as she got mantled to move into the political arena is unbelievable. It's truly mind-blowing. And everyone's saying it. I mean, I think Todd's mentioned it a couple of times. So what is that? So what's really, so today, what does she do? She gets voted in as a president of an electorate. Today, 12 weeks ago, she said no. You see, there is an acceleration happening right now. And for those who will stand in the middle of the Jordan during flood time, they will see God do wonders among them. They will see acceleration come over their life. They will see the supernatural hand of God in favor and prospering in order to get the job done that needs to be done. God spoke to me a few months ago and he said to me, if my people would stop asking what they're called to in this season. Now, I always ask, there's nothing wrong with asking that. But this is what he said to me. If my people will stop asking what they are called to and start asking what needs to be done, I'll be able to empower them. You see, there is so much to do. Don't say, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, what am I going to do? It's not about what you're going to do. Ask him what needs to be done. Yeah. Say, God, what do you need to have done? He goes, great, I need someone to go for this office. I need someone to stand in this place of governing. I need someone to make a stand in the schools over here. I need a letter written over here about the policies that are being pushed in. I need someone to do this. And you'll start to see that the favor and the hand of the Lord and the empowerment of heaven will come over you and you will find yourself as a priest. And we've been talking about favor and the way that favor starts to come about you is through the line of worship and being a priest. But you will find yourself as a priest holding up the ark in the middle of the Jordan in order that people will be able to cross over and not be taken over by the floodwaters. You see, the word of the Lord in this season is, will you stand that others may occupy? And I just really honor Alfred Amoka. I was thinking about this message today, and these guys, this is what you guys have done. They have stood, and I don't know everything about everybody, I don't know, but when I look at them, I feel this message. I feel like they stood in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood, not for themselves. I don't feel like they stood in the Jordan for themselves. I feel like they stood in the Jordan as the priests did, that others would be able to cross over and occupy. That's what I feel so strongly over this couple. And I feel like for many of you here that God is saying, we're going, well, where am I going? What's my calling? What am I supposed to be doing? And God's saying, your time is now and it's time to stand firm in the middle of the Jordan during flood time. It's literally a time for you to raise a standard, which is you, against the advancement of the enemy. And as you raise a standard, you will see that you are becoming the standard that the Lord has raised up in order that the enemy would flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. How many people are getting tired of what's going on? You see, God told us to come, and he said, and we talked about new times, new seasons, and priests and kings and all these different things. And I started to realize this. With God, it's not difficult, but it costs. And you go, hold on, what do you mean it's not difficult? I don't think God makes it complicated. I don't think he makes it so hard that you've got to jump through so much of hoop, but you do have to die. You do have to let him have more of you in order that you can stand the way he needs you to stand. And I feel like Todd was talking about this as well, but I feel like as we detach from the earthly and we allow the Holy Spirit to occupy more of who we are, we find that we get clothed in his presence. And as we're clothed in his presence, it says that Gideon was clothed by the Spirit of the Lord. It says that the Lord actually wore him as a glove, and then he sounded the trumpet. And I feel like the Lord is saying that it is a time right now for all of us, but specifically tonight and specifically in this time, that we consecrate ourselves, that we set ourselves apart, that we allow God to sanctify, that we literally draw a line in the sand and say, I don't care what this looks like, but whatever this looks like, I choose today to consecrate myself. And I believe that God, as a result, in the same as Joshua 3:5, he will do wonders among us. You see, it doesn't mean that everyone has to engage the political stuff. It doesn't mean that everybody needs to engage the business stuff. It doesn't mean that everyone needs to engage. But people need to engage something. People have to engage something. And it might be that you are an intercessor. And God has been speaking to you specifically about intercessory assignments. Or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. All that matters is that you are lining up to the thing that God is asking you to do in this season, in order that that new standard can be set up, that new standard can be raised in the new era. Because I feel like this is the one thing that the church, and I'm not having a go at the church. I love the church. Past the 16 years, I have to love the church, right? I love people. But this is the one thing we didn't do, was set up the new standard or the precedent. The one thing that the governments, everyone else seemed to set something up, and the government and everybody else dictated what things will look like. I'll tell you what a COVID safe environment is. I'll tell you what a new business COVID environment is. And I'm not just talking about COVID. I'll tell you how this has to operate. We'll tell you how what to do in this season. And it was nearly like, we're like, yes, 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 yes. And instead of going, God, what are you, and I'm not saying this is anyone here, but God, what are you saying that the new standard is for us in this season as believers? As the ecclesia of God, as the governing assembly, as the most powerful force on the earth, what is our new standard in this season? And God said, good, I'm glad you asked. This is what it looks like. Because one man or one woman with God is a majority. And I'm 100%. 100%. And I'm telling you right now, whatever the Lord asks you to do, if you stand firm and you cross, whatever that looks like, especially during flood time, you will see God do wonders among you. But this is a bridging generation. And I feel like the Lord is asking us tonight, will you stand? Belinda doesn't stand for me. She does, but she doesn't. Will you stand that others may occupy? And that legacy may be created for the generations coming up after you. So if this word speaks to you and you say yes to that, because I know we're going to finish, you say yes to that, I just want you to stand to your feet. Only if you feel like you want to say yes to that. You don't need to stand, only if you feel like that word was for you. There you go, good. I'm glad. Not everybody needs to stand. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for everybody standing. And I thank you, God, for the word of the Lord, that it's a time to occupy new territory. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are empowering your people in a time of governing and government in order to administrate the things that we need to administrate on the earth, in order that a new precedent would be set that others may be able to follow up behind us in the name of Jesus. We declare, I'm just going to read the scripture, we declare 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for the light bearers in this generation. We thank you, God, that as deep darkness has covered the earth, we thank you, God, that the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, and nations will come to our light and kings to the brightness of our rising. Father, I thank you so much that as we raise a standard, that the favor of the Lord comes upon so many, it comes upon all of us. The favor of the Lord. The Lord hasn't forgotten you. The Lord I forgot about that. God is ready to endorse and support any person whose heart is fully his in this season. And so, Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to stand with our feet saturated in a season of war. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to bridge in a season of war. And we make a choice today, for those of you who want to make a choice, that we will do whatever it takes for our children and our children's children and the generations that will come up. Regardless of what it looks like, we choose to say yes to the mandate and to the mission of becoming the standard that puts flight to the enemy's schemes. So if that spoke to you, you just repeat this after me. Say, today, I choose to stand that others may occupy. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand out in the Jordan in the midst of flooding, carrying your presence. In order that others would cross over on dry land. And Father, I thank you right now for each person that's standing that says, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I'm choosing to say yes. To step out in boldness that others may follow. And so right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray over this church, specifically over Living Waters. And I just thank you, God, for the, I believe that part of this is a prophetic sign. I just thank you, God, that Living Waters are being released in and through all of this nation, but talking specifically about the South Island. And I just thank you, God, that there is a healing rain being released. And Father, I thank you that the healing rain is saturating, that the healing rain is bringing life. That as the water touches the ground, every time the water touches the ground, it's prophesying new life. And so, Father, we thank you for new life over the beautiful nation of New Zealand. And we thank you, God, that whatever happens in Australia happens in New Zealand too. There's a dual thing happening. And so, Father, we thank you that just as we have stood, and I'm not saying we've done everything right, but just as we've stood and said yes to the call to stand, that the generations and others may occupy, I thank you, God, that that is the call and the word over New Zealand too. It's an Anzac call. 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 It's a combined calling. And we thank you, Lord. There's no coincidence that our Prime Minister and yours are in Queenstown right now, together, talking about the agreements. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray a blessing over the policies in this next season. In the name of Jesus, we declare that nothing ungodly will come through the line. In Jesus' name. And we thank you that righteousness will reign in both nations and all through the islands, that the righteous ruling will be made manifest and the people will rejoice in the name of Jesus. And we declare right now that the churches in our nations will rise to the occasion and say yes to the mission to occupy the new land in the new season and be a standard that pushes back all the flooding of darkness in this season in order that others would occupy. And I prophesy this right now, that as the church sets a new standard in New Zealand and in Australia, that other churches all over the world will look to our nations and say, what did you do? How did you do that? And I really believe that this will be part of the light wave that comes out of the Pacific Rim and touches the rest of the earth, that part of the light wave will be the wisdom in governing in the realm of the Spirit. That part of the light wave will be the boldness that they see over our nations, over the church in our nations, as we have taken and continue to take a stand against the enemy's scheme. As we continue to step out in boldness and confidence, whatever it looks like, even in a time of flooding. And so, people of Christ Church, I believe that the Lord has given you a prophetic sign. That He said that it's a time that there is a flood in the natural and there's a flood in the spirit. But it doesn't matter how flooded things look. All that matters is that you step out according to His word in order that you would see Him work wonders among you in this season. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Well, let's give Him a shout. Come on. Woo!
Todd, thank you, Todd. Let's come on. Let's keep praising the Lord tonight. Keep praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Such a good word. Such an hour word. Thank you, Father. Such an hour word. Such an hour word. Such an hour word. Such an hour word, Lord. Such an hour word. Thank you, Father. 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 Such an hour word. Such an hour word. We receive that word. We receive that word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you so much. And good to see you. I so appreciate what Daryl, what many things, but one of the things Daryl said about you get to the place where you know it's not about you anymore. Not about how we feel, not about our preferences, but it's the fact that we must stand. And we must stand in the Jordan. And we must stand with the presence, because it's about others being able to cross over, others being able to enter their inheritance. And as you get older, and I'm not as old as some, but I've been around a few years, you get to the point where you realize you must stand, because this is about the next generation, the generation after them, and the generation after them. There's been a number of times I've faced challenges, and the emotional thing would want to give up or to lay it down or something, but what's held me is I'm doing this for my grandchildren. I'm standing in the gospel. I'm standing in leadership. I'm standing in the place that God's called me for my grandchildren's children. Not just mine, but yours. And we need to stand together. Amen? We need to stand together. Whether you're young or whether you're old or whether you're somewhere in between, we've got to stand. And now's the time to stand. Regardless of the flood, now's the time to stand. Amen? Amen. So greet somebody and give them a slap on the back. G'day, Steve. Good to see you, man. And we are finishing a bit earlier because we do have the bathroom dilemma with the black back flooding. So hang on till you get home, if you can. And we'll release you now. God bless you. Have an awesome life. Have a great week. Drive home safely. Be wise. And God bless. We will clear the tent reasonably quickly so the staff can get home and so on and so forth. Okay? So God bless. Have an awesome life.